Now, one of the things about Socrates is like Jesus, he never wrote a word. I don't encourage students at UC Berkeley to imitate that. Imitation's always suicide. Always, as Waldo Emerson says. But the Socrates that we know comes from three sources. The profound, yet in the end, unpersuasive dialogues of Plato. Because he is profound, he's just wrong, but that's all right. That's all right, you don't have to be right all the time. It's the insights and it's the play of the mind that forces, unsettles, wrestles. The less fascinating dialogue, the Xenophon and the satirical depiction of Socrates and Aristophanes, is the Clouds, three sources of Socrates. But what's fascinating is, in the depiction of Socrates in those three sources, those textual sources, we never see Socrates shed a tear. Never. And he only laughs once. Now something is wrong. And as progressives, even as we affirm the courage to think critically, we must never allow the intellect to become a refuge for the emotionally deprived. You have to think as a whole person, all the way down. And so the Socratic note has to be supplemented with a prophetic note if we're talking about being a progressive, especially in these difficult times. And what do I mean by prophetic? I'm talking about the legacies of Jerusalem. The heartbreak of a Jeremiah as he foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. The tears of an Amos as he looks and has to say, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." A powerful verse in the New Testament said Jesus wept. Why? Because he loved so. Lazarus, Jerusalem. Muhammad walking into Mecca, mediating conflict, pluralism, with mutual respect and civility. I'm not talking about the perverters of Islam and gangsters like bin Laden. I'm talking about purveyors of Islam, keeping track on mercy, justice, compassion. And so in part our challenge is, how do we bring together what a distinguished graduate of this institution, Josiah Royce, called the spirituality of genuine questioning and doubting and interrogating with the legacy of Jerusalem, which is the spirituality of genuine compassion and service to others. Because you can have the most sophisticated and acute analysis of power in the world, but if you don't have compassion in your soul and love in your heart, you're still going to end up with a movement that cannot touch people at the deepest level and in the end reproduce structures of domination that are unaccounted for with those leaders who claim to be speaking on behalf of common folk. And part of the problem of progressives in the United States is that we have become so marginal that we can't wait to get just a little visibility. And we get a little visibility, the focus is no longer on the cause itself, but more and more focus on certain persons. And how do you ensure that the focus is not on you? It's part and parcel of how much compassion you really have for the folk that you're fighting for. And that's the question of quality of person and character, and all of us fall short. No one of us are pure and pristine. No one of us free of spot or wrinkle. But we've got to be honest about this as progressives. You see, that in the end, without the deep compassion that cuts across the race and class and nation and sexual orientation, that it becomes sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Now, if I were to exemplify the coming together of the spirituality of genuine doubting and questioning with the spirituality of genuine love and compassion, I could just turn John Coltrane's Love Supreme on and sit down. Just sit down. Just listen to it. Come to terms with it. Because he comes out of a tradition of a blues people. And a blues people are an inquisitive people, always asking questions that make the nation uncomfortable. But they're dealing with levels of misery that are rendered invisible, but the blues is a sweet and sad indictment of that misery. That's the Socratic and the prophetic brought together. We could just look at a chapter in Toni Morrison's Beloved. Look at Baby Suggs in the clearing. Giving her heart to others, trying to get them to be inspired in a context in which it looks as if they are so unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence, and hated that they want to go to the crack house. But she says, no, don't go. And now that the whole nation has the blues, can they learn that from a blues people? That's part of the question. So far, very few are looking. Very few are turning there. But as progressives, we ought to know that there are some resources there, some very deep resources there, that allows us to say, in the spirit of deep loving critique, that Mr. Bush, you have no right to engage in a Manichaean and melodramatic conception of a pure, innocent America against foreign terrorists and gangsters. You have no right. If you're gonna be against gangsterism and terrorism, then be honest about who are gangsters and who are terrorists. Be honest about it. We all ought to be against gangsterism and terrorism. But there's no way that America somehow is exempt from those categories. There are freedom-loving Democrats of every nation, every race, every gender, every sexual orientation. And there are gangsters of every nation, every race, every gender, every sexual orientation. And a Manichaean and melodramatic conception of the world conceives of pure heroes and pure villains, with all the good on one side and all the bad on the other, with some happy ending owing to some imperial mentality that guarantees triumph. John Wayne is one example. Depending on which movie, brother. John Ford is a complicated brother. We don't have time to get into that right now. But the point is that when you conceive of yourself as a moral exemplar to the world and the city on the hill that transcends all of history and all of time, the chosen people that somehow has some direct line to the deity, it's hard to get beyond the melodramatic. Very hard to get beyond the melodramatic. And one of the reasons why progressives have such a difficult time gaining a foothold in American culture is because it's hard to shake that melodramatic conception of America, the conception it has of itself. And sometimes investing progressives themselves as if they are the chosen ones, as if they are the vessels of pure virtue. And one of the legacies of a blues people is that the good and evil shot through all of us. All of us. One of the great contributions, Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Louis Farrakhan, and others, says, I don't worry about white brothers and sisters running up to me and saying, I know I'm not a racist, I've transcended that, my aunt and uncle have more work to do, but not me. Because I'm wrestling with the white supremacy in black folk. And if there's white supremacy in black folk, I know in vanilla suburbs, it's got to be much thicker than white brothers and sisters think, be they progressive or not. And if that's the case, then it means it's really the quality of our struggle against these various forms of evil that need to be accented, not whether we are pure vessels of virtue.